The Intentional Living Podcast is brought to you by iBelieve.com and is a part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Hi, friends, and welcome to this episode of Intentional Living. I'm Christy Woods, and I'm so thankful that you've joined us. There's nothing like gathering together to talk about important things of faith, right? And when we're intentional about our faith, God builds us, shows us how to trust Him more, draws us close. It just takes intentional living. That's all. But today's episode is called Being Intentional with Our Bible. Man, I love the word. The word says to taste and see that it's good. But I would like to say that it's so delicious in a good way, okay? Like, man, when you really dive into God's word and eat of the words that are in there, when the Holy Spirit begins to feed you insight that you know is beyond yourself, it comes alive, just like it says. That the word comes alive. It is good. But where do we start if we're not sure where to start with our Bibles? And where do we start if we don't even know what's in the Bible? Or maybe we do know, but we've walked away from it for a while and it's time to return. Let's talk about being intentional with our Bibles today, about reading, studying, memorizing, and using other tools to help us. You ready? Let's dive in. You know, when I was a senior in high school, my church handed me a Bible. It was brown on the cover and it had gold lettering for Holy Bible across the front. It was an NIV version, one of the 1984 kinds. And I took that Bible from them. At the time, I didn't realize what a gold mine they had given to me. But years later, in my early to mid-20s, when I became a Christian and I began to dive into God's word, I understood. There's something extremely powerful about the Bible. God's word is active and living. It dances to life when we settle ourselves amongst its words and pages. I'm so thankful for that Bible. And, you know, years later, at the very church where I attended, my husband and I attended at the time that both of us got saved, our pastor at the time was adamant and huge on encouraging his congregants to read the Bible for themselves. In fact, every year he touted a Bible reading plan. He had copies and he flashed it from the pulpit often. I would say probably every Sunday. I don't know if that's true, but it was really close to that. He really believed in studying the word, and I'm so grateful for him. I hope that you and I both can take encouragement from Pastor Dan, that we can run and dig into our Bibles and maybe use a reading plan or maybe just read on our own, but to allow God to speak to us through his word, because he will guide us in situations. He will direct our steps, just like it says. It'll be a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And it will make life different in a great way. But let's say that you've come here from somewhere else, that a country that will never allow Bibles. You've never seen a Bible. And you want to know, what is this book? And why on earth should I read it? If somebody were to ask you that question, how would you answer? Well, the Bible itself is the number one nonfiction book sold. It's been at the top of the lists for as long as lists have been made, I'm sure. On the globe, there's an estimated nearly 6 billion Bibles sold. That's a lot of Bibles. Could you imagine if we stacked those up? Like, I don't even know what the statistics equate to and like how big that stack would be, but I'm sure it would be very, very large. 6 billion. That's crazy. That's crazy good. I love it that God's word is that important that he makes sure that it's at the very front of the line when it comes to books that people can read and are interested in. Ephesians 6:17 says that the Bible is our sword. I say this often in some of my different writings that I have on my blog and other places, that it's an offensive and a defensive weapon. It's part of our spiritual gear. We can use it both ways. And that, my friend, is something to use. Like, could you imagine if we went off to battle and we didn't use the gear that we had been given? Wouldn't that be silly? It's no different for Christians. We are in a spiritual battle here on earth because we have an enemy that roams this earth and will until the day we hit heaven. Why leave our protective and our offensive and defensive weapon and not use it? We have a great freedom and opportunity to pick it up and use it. It's alive and active. We just talked about that just a minute ago. I mentioned it. That's Hebrews 4:12. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. You know, that Bible, that thing that's sitting on our shelf or that's in our bags or that we carry around or sitting at the bookstore, that thing judges the attitudes and thoughts of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 assures us that scripture is God-breathed, that we can use it not only for teaching, but for rebuking and correcting, also for training in righteousness. Now, that sounds great for parenting, and it's absolutely a phenomenal parenting handbook. If you're not sure where to go, start with Proverbs. There are 31 of them. It's fabulous. You can read one each day out of the calendar month, and you've gone through a whole book of the Bible by the end of the month, and it's so easy to keep up with. Lots and lots and lots of good information for guiding us as parents, but not just in Proverbs. There's more through the whole Word, through all of the Bible. But that's a great place to start. It's also, though, for adults, the new Christian, the mature Christian, because sometimes we get sidetracked a little bit and need to come back on. It's for all of us, isn't it? The Word is God's Word. It's phenomenal. It was written for the purpose of belief. John 20, verses 30 and 31 talks about that Jesus performs lots of signs, and many of them weren't recorded in the book, but what was written so that you and I would believe, so that those he was speaking to would believe that we serve Jesus, the Messiah, that this man that did all of these miracles that we read about, he truly is the Messiah. But it's not only about just knowing and believing, but it's so that we might have eternal life because of him. There's a promise attached to it. Also, the Bible is a way that we can keep our way pure. That's Psalm 119:9. If we live according to God's word, we can remain pure. Also, it offers stories and situations of hope for battles that we experience today. You can find discouragement and courage in the fear in the Bible. You can also find instances of loneliness and sadness, but also overcoming and prayer that answers healing and anxiety and things of that sort. The Bible recounts the goodness of the Lord and what he is like. It assures us of who this God we serve is, the magnificence of his strength, his power, the depth of his love, that which he lavishes upon us. All of that's in the Word. It's reassurance. And at the very beginning, it lays out creation, shows us how this world even came into being. It dictates or notes the plan of salvation. It also is used to stabilize our identity when we believe that we were created according to his purposes and for his purposes, with the identity that he has given us, that we're God's children, that we were created, that man was created in God's own image, and that he formed man out of the dust of the ground. And many more, many more. We find our identity right there in the middle of these pages in the Word. It's good. It's very good. Okay, so that's what the Bible is and why we should read it. So if you're on the sidewalk and you meet somebody from one of those countries out there that doesn't even know what a Bible is, those are a few answers that you can give. But what about the different versions? That's a very common question for new Christians and even those who are a little more versed in the Bible. What about all these versions? Because I don't know how many there are, but there are many, 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 right? Some of them are word for word translations. Others are paraphrases or they translate the idea. There are modern versions versus older English versions or just older language versions. There are study Bibles where there are notes that others who are versed in theology or biblical studies help to guide us into those passages, their meaning and the underlying currents of the time, that sort of thing. There are Jewish Bibles even. I have one on my bookshelf. I love referring to it from time to time. It gives a different flavor. It's nice. What about you? Which one's your favorite? Do you like more of the modern versions, or do you prefer something that reads a little bit more like King James, where it's an older English version? My favorites and what I consider my go-tos are the NIV, because that was the first version I was given as that gift at graduation by my church. So I use it often. I have a couple of them. I have one that's just a regular Bible and then another that's a study Bible. I love I love going back to that study Bible and digging into some of those notes too. It's wonderful for study. I also reference the New Living Translation as well, the NLT. I purchased the Chronological Life Application Study Bible a couple of years ago, and I've been working my way through it. And I will tell you, chronological is very different than the traditional Bibles. I've had to kind of wrap my mind around it a little bit because I am more of a linear type of thinker, I believe. And this one changed the way I read my Bible. So it's good though, because it allows the reader to see the same verses in different books of the Bible and then chronologically where things are happening and how they're happening all at similar times. I highly recommend it. But the New Living Translation, the NLT, is a more modern version. So if you want something that speaks more of a modern way, then you might want to consider the NLT. I also use the Amplified, which online I think they now call it the Amplified Classic. I love that one though, from the standpoint it goes in depth in the meaning of some of the words. So it is wordier than most of the other versions, but it's a quick way to see more in depth into the scripture. I use it for study often. It's a really good one for comparison. And then there's the Message, which Eugene Peterson, who passed away not too long ago, he put this one into writing, and it's more of a paraphrase than a translation, technically speaking. But he noticed that some of his friends were not getting the depth and colorfulness of the scriptures the way he did because he understood the language in which they were written. So he translated it into a more modern, colorful version and for his friends specifically. And then now you and I can use it too. So it is, like I said, it's a paraphrase. It's in modern terms. I go to it a lot of times too, as well as the NIV, NLT, and the Amplified to see, okay, what does the Message say? Does this use any additional words that might help? Consider that one as well. And then there's the King James. That one's great for if you're using the Strong's Concordance or you just like the older language. It's also free for the public domain. So that's kind of nice too if you don't have to worry about any copyright laws with it necessarily because it is free public domain. Just make sure all the references are right when you're using them though. So take a peek. You might have some others. There are lots of other versions. You might have others that you use. You know, dig in, try a new one this year when you're reading. You might find fun in that. How do we read the Bible? All right, so you've picked out your version. Now what? How do we read the Bible? Oh my goodness, there are so many ways. So many ways. And the great part is you and I have the freedom to choose what works for us. And you know what? What works this year may be different next year. And that's the great part of it. We can read it front to back. We can start in Genesis and work our way all the way through to Revelation. Or, like my pastor, we can read via a reading plan. He used to tout those often. I believe he just got them offline. Lots of places have them for free. Some Bibles even include them. We can also read along with a devotional. There are Bibles that have devotionals. They are online as well. Salem Media, I Believe, and Crosswalk, and all these the different sites of Salem Media, they have devotionals available that you can read along with as well. There are other places you can too. Some people like to read one chapter a day, meaning one chapter in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, one in Psalms, and one in Proverbs. So that's four chapters every day. And then you just work your way through until you finish. Others read Proverbs. I used to do this with my kids sometimes when life got a little bit harried and I needed something really simple. I would dig in and read Proverbs daily. I would read them to them, read them to myself. There are 31 of them. So I think God knew what he was doing. What do you think? One for each day of the calendar. So it's easy, easy, easy to keep up with. I highly recommend it. If you're a new Christian, you might want to start with the Gospels only. Start there, scour them, work through those four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then work your way through some of the other books. Some people who are really studious, I think, like the minor prophets, and they dig into just those, and they sit and study those for the entire year or more. I think that's pretty fun, actually. Because for me personally, I don't know about you, but the minor prophets are harder for me to understand. So I definitely would need concentrated time on them. In fact, maybe I need to do that next year, huh? Anybody with me? Chronologically, I mentioned that I have a chronological Bible. I determined I was going to start reading it front to back, and that's what I'm doing. I just do a few pages a day, keep a place marker, page marker, where I'm at, and off we go. It's good, chronologically. Then there's a question of, well, do you read in the morning? How about at night? Or maybe daily? Daily is good because that allows us to keep eating the word, the thing that transforms us, renews our mind, that word. But sometimes it's just gets left to the side, or we're not in the habit, or whatever. So maybe you and I could encourage one another to and challenge one another to read daily in God's word, to just spend, even if it's 5 minutes with him, just to quiet everything. Maybe get up 5 minutes early or take 5 minutes at lunch and just spend time with God in his word. All right, so we've talked about what the Bible is and why we should read it, the different versions, how we read the Bible. How do we study the Bible? Because we could just read through the words. That's reading the Bible, right? But sometimes we've got to dive in further and go into a study. And with a study, sometimes we park ourselves in the same section or the same verses, the same chapter or the same book of the Bible for a long time. And that's okay, though. It's good. We can study the Bible definitely with prayer. That's a great way to start Bible study, in fact. You also can study the Bible through those that you purchase or you download. You go to the bookstore, you buy one. They have lots of them. Just go and ask at your local Christian bookstore, and they'll give you suggestions. You can also find them on like Pinterest or Googling them, that sort of thing as well. Sometimes churches have them. You can do them in small groups. Or you can do this by yourself. It's okay. There's also a way to study the Bible by topic or subject. That one's, you know, if you are dealing with fear, then you think of everything that deals with fear, and then you look it up in the back of your Bible, and if you have a concordance there. So it might be fear and the opposite of it, which would be courage or love, because perfect love casts out all fear, right? And you study it by topic. Now, there are actual studies that have been printed or are available for download that are based on topics. If you're not sure how to do it yourself, grab one of those, because there's some really good studies out there for that. You can also look up on the different Salem media sites like Crosswalk and I Believe and Bible Study Tools. If you type in their search browsers for a specific topic, you'll find articles and different listings of scriptures that'll come up. And that is a great way to study the Bible too. Word studies, very similar to a topic or subject. It can be one of those. And a word study can just be one simple word. And you find every instance of it in the Bible and you study those scriptures and you dive into the meaning and you go deep. That's how I started my walk as a Christian. I started it kind of by topics and by word studies. I made up my own, but there are some that are available on the market out there that you can purchase. So you don't have to do it yourself if you'd prefer not to. But the great part is there are lots of free tools or some that don't cost a whole lot that you can do the word or the topic studies pretty easily. Now, when you study the Bible, or you and I, when we study the Bible, we can do it by ourselves, individuals, but we can also do it as a group, any of these, right? And speaking of people, not only can we study topics, but we could study people. Have you ever thought about that? Like, could you imagine if we dove in and just studied just Jesus and found out, okay, what are we going to find out when we study just Jesus? Maybe it's David, or maybe it's Ruth, or maybe Mary. You know, there are lots of different people in the Bible that we could study. We could study women. We could study men. We could study disciples. Lots of good options. We could study via history, like an archaeological study. There are even Bibles that pertain to this. We could dive into the individual books and their authors and study that way. Some Bibles will tell you who the author of that particular book of the Bible is. Others, you can just go get a book that has that information. So that's a few ideas, but maybe you have some others. So dive in, study that word. It's important and it's good. A lot of good today, right? How about memorizing Bible verses, though? Do you do this? And if so, how do you do this? I always felt like studying God's word is very important. David, I believe it was, said, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord." It's important so that we can keep from sinning. It's important so that we understand, okay, this is sin. This is not righteous, the righteousness of God. So that we can find forgiveness when we need it. We know God's word. So we can memorize it by writing it, just writing out the scripture that we're trying to memorize. And you can do that daily or several times a day. Singing songs are fabulous ways to get God's word in your heart. There are lots of CDs out there that have the word on them and that will help us to memorize different parts of scripture. It's not only for kids. It's for adults too, but there are plenty of CDs for kids and songs. I think back to Schoolhouse Rock. Do you remember that? You may be too young for that, but when I was a kid, it was on every Saturday. I learned the preamble of the Constitution of the United States and still know it to this day, like 40 years later, because of those Saturday morning sessions with song. God's word is powerful in song too. So remember that one. You can record yourself. You know, we all have these phones nowadays. We can just record ourselves saying and repeating the scripture. We can create or download from the internet coloring pages that have scripture on them, different graphics, something that has to do with that side of the creative branch. Repetition, that's a big one. Keep repeating it over and over and over. We can write it on a post-it or on an index card, and attach it to our mirror and repeat it over and over. I did this once. We were in Tampa living and getting ready to move and didn't have all of our information about where we were going yet. And for me, that was an opportunity for anxiety to build. And it just seemed to happen that anxiety would build at that time. So I wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but with thanksgiving, with prayer, and submit your prayers and requests to God, and with thanksgiving." I have it kind of mixed up right there, but it's from Philippians. I put that on my mirror, and I would repeat it every time I would start to feel anxious and every time I went to the mirror. I would be anxious for nothing. And you know what? God's word worked. His power cut through that anxiety as I trusted him and as I trusted his word. And it was okay. And we all survived. So that's a good sign. All right. So we have some tools that can deepen, help us deepen our study. Concordances. These are available at the back of many Bibles. Not all, but many. I loved mine. This was one must-have tool that I always looked for in a Bible. I made sure that mine had it. And fortunately, the one that was given to me had it. And I think that's they planted a seed with that too. So that's something for us to think about. Strong's Concordance. We can purchase the written copy of it at any Christian bookstore or online. But also Bible Study Tools has many of these tools available to be used through them as well. There are lexicons and dictionaries, Bible dictionaries, concordances, other concordances, and other versions of the Bible that we can find like through Bible Study Tools and other online sites. There are also additional books and studies like The Complete Guide to the Bible. That's one that I've used. I love that one. Maybe because it has great photography and pictures. I don't know, but it was really a nice book. And then just read it. Your Bible is like a bicycle. We don't forget how to ride a bicycle once we've learned. We may wobble a little bit when we get back on, but we ride. Grab God's word and run with it. Once you start to immerse yourself, once you and I start to immerse ourselves in his word, watch out. It's good. It's that offensive and defensive tool. It's that lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's active. It's sharp. It's God's word. It's God breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for helping us to keep our way pure. It's God's word. I hope, my friend, that you are intentional with the Bible. And hold me accountable so that I will be too, okay? We're in this together. As we close this particular episode on intentional living, let's go over a couple of action steps. Three of them, okay? Because I always like to end with some action steps because we could talk and that would be good. But when we add action to it, that often helps even more. So the first action step that you could choose from is to download and institute a Bible reading plan. Look online, purchase a Bible that has one, talk to a friend, get yourself a Bible reading plan, a way, an approach for reading it and holding yourself accountable on a daily basis. Pick one word and investigate its use in the Bible, just one. It could be love. It could be the word believe. It could be faith or trust or fear, and study that one word. Or sign up for a Bible study. There are lots of them out there. Churches have them. Bible Study Fellowship has it as an organization. Many small groups, even create your own. Grab a friend and call it a Bible study because that's what it is. And start going through the Bible line by line. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and see how God will show you his goodness through it, because he will. So be encouraged, my friend. Be intentional. Grab that Bible, use it as the weapon that it is, and grow, baby, grow. I'm Christy Woods. Thanks for joining me today on this podcast of Intentional Living. Have a wonderful week.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Intentional Living, a production of lifeaudio.com and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us. To learn more about Christy Woods or to check out any of the resources she mentioned in this episode, just head over to her website, christywoods.net, or check out our show notes. This episode was produced by me, Hilly Givens, and edited by Steven Sanders.
God's Word will change our life, but sometimes it's hard to know where to start. Well, that's where I come in. I'm Jody Nisnik, host of So Much More, Creating Space for God, a scripture meditation podcast. And each week, I guide you through a scripture, giving you space to listen to the Spirit and pray about what's on your heart. Then we have a thoughtful conversation with guests to help us go deeper. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.